You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined by Spike Friedman. We didn't do the intro right last time, and I take large blame for that. Spike recovered it, and so now we're going to introduce ourselves again a little bit more, but right off the bat of the show. So I'm Grant Goldberg. I do social media work for forumblueandgold.com. It's a website covering the Lakers, and I am the host of Locked On Seahawks, co-host of Locked On Seahawks.
And I am Spike Friedman. I write about the Seahawks for The Stranger. I've written other places about other sports over the years.
Spike's been everywhere. He's done it all.
I've done it all. I'm over it at this point. Much like am I younger or older than Michael Bennett? I'm gonna look this up. I think I'm older than him.
I think you might be older, but
no, no, it's close.
This podcast is
Wow, Michael Bennett is exactly 3 weeks younger than I am, but we are basically the same age. So much like Michael Bennett, my age and my value to the Seahawks are deeply related to one another. At some point, I will be deemed superfluous. Unlike Michael Bennett, though, I will be unlikely to warrant any trade, like draft capital coming back in a trade, so I'm unlikely to be moved on and will just toil away the rest of my life as a Seahawks fan.
There you go. This podcast kind of serves as a victory lap for Spike, being he's gone everywhere and he's done everything that he could want to do. I'm sure that's a 100% accurate statement.
Yep. No more dreams, no more ambitions.
Yeah, but we talked about Michael Bennett. And it seems like his days as a Seahawk might be, numbered. And as sad as that sounds, it's not unexpected. There's been chatter throughout the whole season, kind of, and then especially talks have ramped up about it. And I'm a little sad because Michael Bennett, we talk about his on-field production, maybe his numbers took a little bit of a dip, but his impact on the field, it can't be just explained in numbers. And his work off the field too, it speaks for himself. So it speaks for itself, my bad. I think that there's not a guy that you'd want more in your locker room than Michael Bennett.
And that's what makes some of the news around it disappointing.
Right.
I mean, again,
there's a phrase that I think it was a report from Ian Rappaport, and it said that Seattle would like to make its locker room quieter. That has me kind of shaking my head a little bit.
It's a little disappointing. I mean, it could also be a way, who knows where that's coming from, and that is the wrong reason to trade Michael Bennett. The right reason is if you can get a second or third rounder for him at this point in his career. He's 32. The Seahawks are probably not peaking right now. If they're going to have this sort of second bump with this dynasty, as it were, the way the Steelers did, the way the Ravens did, the way those teams that don't have Tom Brady that sort of stay high but go through some dips and valleys. Like, we're not at the peak right now, and Bennett at 32, if you're looking 2-3 years down the road, he's unlikely to be a significant contributor. You get a couple million in cap relief this year. You get full cap relief next year. And if you can get a second or third rounder and can use that to be able to either take a defensive end high, in the first round where we're taking him, and then be able to go elsewhere in the second or third round in a way that you might not have been able to do, that's an okay reason to trade Michael Bennett. That is all fine. To do it because he's loud or because his presence is loud in the locker room, that's silly. Yes. Also, if you're going to get rid of all the loud people, you got to get rid of Sherman and Baldwin and, in negative ways, Frank Clark. And Russell Wilson is loud in his, very genteel sort of way.
Right.
So it's dumb. I don't know, man. But I think there are plenty of good reasons to trade Michael Bennett if the price is right.
Right, exactly. It's all about the right price. And I think you're gonna get a better price by trading a guy earlier than trading a guy too late. And
yeah.
Michael Bennett, as big of a contributor as he's been over the past few years, he's been, you know, a part of the heart and soul of the Seahawks defense, in and on and off the field. But, you know, at a certain point in time, you have to move on from some guys, and especially when they start to get up in age. And you mentioned how, you know, the Seahawks aren't at the peak of their dynasty. And, you know, I think that there comes a time where you're going to have to move on. So, you know, you might as well get all that you can when you have the chance. And so it may seem like a little bittersweet seeing Michael Bennett go, if he does go, and it seems like he will. You know, you have to gear up for the future, and you have to gear up for another run. So whether that be, you know, getting a few more draft picks so you can infuse some more young talent into this team, you know, that's what has to happen in the game like this. And so I'm sad about Michael Bennett. You know, he's been one of my favorite players over the past few years, but, you know, time moves on. And so, yeah, I think that we can just appreciate his time in Seattle. And hopefully, you know, he goes somewhere fun, somewhere that fits him. I think he'd be super fun in Atlanta, as bad as that'd be facing them potentially in the playoffs. But I'm all on board for Michael Bennett being happy where he is.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that he will have a really positive legacy with the team. And yes. I think that that's a really important thing as well. Like, you don't want a guy, like you were saying, you don't want a guy to go too late. And what Bennett has contributed to this franchise is immeasurable compared to what we paid him for. So, you know, they wish nothing but the best for him. And you know what? Like, we don't get that much salary relief for him in the short run if he leaves. So if he stays, you know, I think if you don't get offered a third rounder for him, if you're offered a day three pick,
it's not worth
I don't
it.
Think you move him. Yeah. No. I think if you're offered a day two pick, though, you got to do it. Even if it is the Falcons round three pick is pretty late. So that's where I'm sort of like, I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Spike has done his research on Atlanta's draft picks. I have not. So, you know, he totally captained that. But, I think that
I mean kind of.
Yeah, no. And I think that you can draft
know they had a good record.
Right. I know you can draft a Marcus Davenport like Danny Kelly was saying, and you know, you can have him on the team for a year with Bennett and, you know, soak up all that information that information that is in that room with Bennett and Averill. And so it only benefit young guys coming into Seattle if Michael Bennett was on the team.
Yep.
All right, so you know, now that we've concluded the Michael Bennett talk, we're going to take a short break and then talk about someone that is potentially staying with the Seahawks long term, and I'm pretty excited about that. So you got to stay tuned and listen to the rest of the show to find out. We are back with more Locked On Seahawks. You're with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and you know, the Seahawks might be with, you know, one of their best players in franchise history for a little bit longer. Ian Rappaport, he reported that the Seahawks plan to keep Earl Thomas around, and you know, I'm super excited about that. You know, I love Earl Thomas. You love Earl Thomas. We all love Earl Thomas, and I think that you know, you can lock him up, and he can, you know, remain a Seahawk for life, and then everything will be fine and dandy. I think that maybe, you know, there's a reason or two why they want to keep him long term now. Maybe they didn't get the offers that they wanted. Or maybe they just had a change of heart and, you know, realize what they had in Earl Thomas and, you know, realize how important he is to the team, but just, you know, became aware of it again.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they probably went out, and I feel like if they had been offered a high first or a late first and a second, you know, they might have made that move. But that's a huge offer for a safety, and we've talked about it in the past, that defensive backs, you know, you look at a guy like Marcus Peters, who's younger, healthier, obviously has his off-the-field and on-the-field attitude issues that, you know, diminish his value, but he's maybe not quite the player at his peak that Earl Thomas is, but, like, he is on his rookie contract, and he still didn't get a first-rounder. So to expect that Earl, when you're going to have to sign him to a huge extension, is going to warrant a first rounder. I get he's worth more to the Seahawks than he is to anybody else is the problem at the end of the day. Because of the way Pete Carroll's system can use Earl Thomas,
right?
There's no one out there who's willing to pay a surplus for him. So assuming that he's willing to sign, if we are willing to make him, you know, a deal that is slightly over the highest ever free safety deal on some metric, you know, that doesn't totally break open the market because he is an older player, then boom, done. Make it happen. Let's get 4 more years of Earl, baby. 4 more.
Yeah, I think we're both in agreement that we want Earl Thomas to stay with the team long term. And I think most Seahawks fans would agree. The Seahawks defense wouldn't be what they were without Earl Thomas, and they wouldn't be what they are without Earl Thomas. And so while he has, you know, a legacy with this team, you know, he's still building on top of that. And I wouldn't like to see it get cut short, especially for the wrong price, too. So, you know, I'm super ecstatic that, you know, at least there's a report out there that the Seahawks are interested in keeping him around long term.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's just an obvious right choice. Like, we've seen what the Seahawks are with and without Earl Thomas. We don't know what Tedrick Thompson brings to the table or Delano Hill. And we know this is a pretty good draft for safeties, but it's still, like, it's not enough. Like, Earl Thomas isn't... If we were talking about replacing... And I know you and I debate this all the time, and for me, Cam is less valuable than Earl. And if we were talking about replacing Cam with some combination of Tedrick Thompson...
Oh,
and some
it's much easier. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, there are players that good, or there are players who can give you 90% of Cam, and 90% of Cam doesn't ruin your life. 90% of Earl Thomas is not good. Like, 90% of Earl Thomas is a problem. 90% of Cam is Bradley McDougald, and we saw that that player is, you know,
he's a fine player.
Yeah, it's not a problem. The Seahawks can still do their business.
Exactly. I think that you can plug in a player like Bradley McDougal alongside Earl Thomas, and, you know, things will run just fine. I mean, it's not going to run to the levels of, you know, Cam Chancellor when he's fully healthy, but, you know, you're not going to lose a bunch of sleep over it. And I think a large part is due to, you know, having someone next to Earl Thomas, having that, you know, safety net next to you or behind you, whatever defensive back position it may be. And so... Yeah, and if you flip the roles, it's a complete, you know, dumpster fire, as we saw a couple of years ago when he went down and the team just, you know, they had to rely on Russell Wilson, they had to rely on the offense to kind of keep them in games. And I think that, you know, the Seahawks aren't the Seahawks with Earl Thomas. Without Earl
Thomas.
They were
dreadful at defending passes in the middle of the field without Earl Thomas, and it's fundamental to what Pete Carroll is trying to do.
It's like playing baseball without a center fielder.
Yeah, it's no good. It's like it's like playing basketball without a center.
Yeah,
except shorter.
Yeah,
who's, you know,
gonna,
what I mean?
Yeah, you need rim protection in basketball, and you need, you know, over the top protection in football. So
it's just stupid.
You can draw these stupid parallels.
We shouldn't trade him. Like,
no,
like in the fact that we, like,
it's a painfully obvious answer.
Unless he's refusing to sign a contract that is a market break, that is the new hot. If we offer him the new highest value contract in the history of safeties and he refuses to sign it, then I don't know what you do.
Yeah.
But I feel like that ain't going to happen. We cool. It's all good.
Like, obviously, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But
we don't. But, you don't know at home or in your car where you're listening to. None of us know.
Exactly. But, and so,
unless you're Earl Thomas, in which case, come on the pod, Earl.
Yeah, no, we'd love to talk to you. But,
well,
but Earl has said in the public.
Pod.
Earl has said in the public, and this is the information that we do know, that he wants to stay in Seattle. He wants to, you know, finish out his career. And if the team wanted to move on from him, and then he'd explore some of the scenarios. But, you know, as far as we know right now, what Earl has said, you know, on the record, you know, he wants to be a Seahawk. And as long as Earl Thomas wants to be a Seahawk, and he's still, you know, the Earl Thomas we know and love, then yeah, keep him on the team. Give him money. You know, it's a simple answer.
Yeah.
And we just spent about like 6 minutes explaining why, you know, Earl Thomas should stay on the team when everybody knows he just should. Okay, so we're gonna finish out the show on a bit of a lighter note. We're gonna talk about some baseball. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back. We are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You're still with Grant and Spike, and the Seahawks look like they're supposed to still be with Earl Thomas. But we are done talking about that. Spike, we're going to talk about a bit of baseball.
Ooh, talking Ichiro. No, we're not. What are we talking about, Grant?
We're talking about Russell Wilson in baseball. He was usually, I mean, he spent his time with the Texas Rangers earlier in his career, and he did the whole spring training thing. But I think this year was a little bit more high profile. His rights were traded to the Yankees, and so he spent some time with them during spring training, and he hit some dingers in batting practice. He had Aaron Judge kind of gush about him, how he still has MLB potential, when we know that's just kind of like, oh yeah, like Russell Wilson, we're going to say some nice things about him. But it looked like Russ was having fun, and I think that, you know, it's all in good taste, and I just hope that he doesn't, you know, find his love for baseball again and leave the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. He didn't look great.
No.
He
struck out I think, did he have just more than one plate appearances or just one?
I think he had two.
All right. Well, I know he struck out in at least one.
He's a classic Derek Jeter type, so it makes sense that he'd go to the Yankees and then be not very good. He took a ground ball off the face at one point, so that's not ideal either. Yeah, he's a goof. He was playing baseball. I mean, look, baseball's really hard.
Yeah.
I think people don't get it. And I know this is dumb, it's a sports podcast, but I think people don't get how hard it is to be a major league baseball player, how precise what they do is, and how much repetition it requires to become even halfway decent at it. And look, I'm not worried about anyone on the Seahawks becoming a baseball player, if I'm being totally honest with you, Grant.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that'd be one of the most obvious things if you're talking about, you know, players, if they're two-sport players. I think that Russell Wilson in baseball is the easiest one to draw up. I think another one would be Tyler Lockett before his injury. We talked about this off the air, but before the injury, maybe he could run track or something like that. We had a few basketball players on the team.
George I wonder, Fant. I mean, we always talk, there's always that hypothetical of, like, what if America's best athletes played soccer?
Yeah.
And the thing about soccer is, like, it requires some things that other sports don't necessarily require. But I think there are some dudes on the Seahawks, like Tyler Lockett, who might have that. Like, a Doug Baldwin would probably be pretty good at soccer. He's built like a midfielder.
Put him in the midfield.
Exactly. And the shifty route running as, like, second level runs coming into the box, I think Doug Baldwin could be a good soccer player.
Yeah, you put Tyler Lockett up on the wing and he's running up and down the field. And I don't know. I think that I wasn't even thinking soccer, but Doug Baldwin, like, I follow Tottenham Hotspur, and there's a midfielder. His name is Eric Lamella, and he has probably the sharpest elbows in all of Europe right now. And I think that Earl Thomas would bring a similar type of grit onto the field. We're going to use grit on this podcast.
Oh, God. Of all the people to compare Doug Baldwin to, Eric Lamella? Really? I wouldn't go with that. I mean, Eric Lamella is a lot of things, but I think of him as, like, niftier on the ball than with secondary runs. He has, like, a monster foot. I don't know, man. I think Dele Alli, if we're going with Spurs midfielders.
Well, I mean, Dele's a little bit more of an a-hole, I'd say. I mean, they're kind of both a-holes.
Yeah, but, angry one, baby.
I don't know Doug to foul bait, though. I mean, I'm a big Spurs fan, but that's pretty much the scouting report on Dele Alli.
Yeah. I don't know. As a Liverpool fan, who are some equivalents? If you've ever seen James Milner in person, which I have, he's shockingly short. I think he's listed at like 5'8 or something, but there's no way. He is like 5'5. Yeah, he's listed at 5'9. Absolutely not. Absolutely not is James Milner 5'9. He's way too short for there to be an equivalent. Who, I don't know, maybe like, I would like to see Virgil van Dijk play tight end. I think he'd be pretty good. I think he's a good Jimmy Graham replacement. I think if you look at like a Mo Salah returning punts, that could be exciting.
Right, shifty in space, like good creator. Like he knows what to do with the ball.
Yeah. Emre Can, you know, I could see him at outside linebacker maybe.
Right.
Sort of that Bruce Irvin role. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to flip the script with my soccer team of choice.
I mean, we talked about Spurs, and we totally glanced over Harry Kane and the gaping hole at kicker for the Seahawks. You know, you get one of the most prolific scorers in all of the Premier League, and you know, the Seahawks literally have a kicker on a futures contract.
I was literally like, what position could Harry freaking Kane play? But you're right, he could be a kicker. I mean, look, Harry Kane is a very athletic dude in his way, yeah. But he's a little... He's the sort of guy who would be an incredible D3 American football player. Like, he'd be like, he'd be the kicker, the wide receiver, and, like, strong safety or something.
He's that guy in high school. He's playing both. Yeah. He's kicking the ball, and he's quarterback. And he's, you know, strong or middle linebacker. Like, whatever he wants to do, he's going to do it.
Yeah, but he doesn't have, like, real speed, does he? Like, I don't think of him as having, like, crazy speed.
It's a lot of timing.
Yeah, exactly.
He knows when to make his runs.
Yeah, look, I have nothing but respect for Harry Kane. I've been on the Harry Kane is good bandwagon for a while. I wonder if people are into this. You know, let's bring it home by talking a little Sounders. I would say Nicholas Ladero, he could play kicker. You know, his set pieces are pretty great. DeAndre Yedlin, former Seattle Sounder, current member of Newcastle United, would be a pretty good option. I feel like he did at some point train with the Seahawks.
Yeah, he definitely did.
He'd be a pretty good punt return option if Lockett's injured ever. He's got real speed. Man, he's got speed that plays in the EPL. He's been really good. I remember I was at his first match with the Sounders, which is super exciting. Big DeAndre Yedlin fan. Clint Dempsey.
I'm trying to think of where you'd put him.
Well, I'm like, he could be a special teams coach who, like, when the gunner gets out of bounds, trips him or something. Dempsey's dirty. Oh, Dempsey.
I mean, you put him at cornerback. Let's put him at cornerback. No, he's going to be physical.
Have you ever seen Clint Dempsey try to run? It's not. Like, he's...
Counterpoint. Have you ever seen Thorold Simon try to follow somebody in coverage?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Clint Dempsey could be the new bad Seahawk corner. Well, I think this is good. I think we covered what we needed to cover.
We covered it all.
I'm really excited about this Liverpool team. I could go all day on them. And I bet you're excited about the Spurs team. We've both got good soccer teams right now.
Yeah, no, you had two big away goals at Juventus. But there's a big Champions League game for us tomorrow.
Yeah, we had a big one today in that we just had to not lose by 5. And we didn't, so we're through, baby.
All right, so this wraps up the Locked On Premier League / Champions League podcast. No, this has been Locked On Seahawks. If you enjoyed the show... Now let us know in the form of an iTunes review. Leave it with 5 stars. You can have the option to leave it with your Twitter handle, and that enters you to win a Pro Football Focus Edge membership. You can play some NBA games on draft.com. You can build your own daily fantasy team on that site. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We went everywhere. We went to Michael Bennett, to Earl Thomas, to Russell Wilson, all the way to Europe and talk about soccer. Yeah. And so, you know, we're globetrotting on this podcast.
Yep. And I think that some movement is going to happen now. Sheldon Richardson officially not tagged, now eligible to re-sign a long-term contract. Team met with Shaquem Griffin. You know, there's good news coming. It was another day without any Seahawks transactions. But I think our days of drought are going to come to an end soon. So, yeah, leave a review, do the things. I don't know. Do we have any promo codes right now? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. You can just...
So do not buy a Casper mattress right now. Don't do it. Wait for us to get endorsed by Casper and then do it. Don't do it right now. You sleep on the ground.
And you know, on another note, if you're listening to this podcast and you have, you know, a business and you want to advertise with us, you know, you can... You can find our emails. My email is in my Twitter bio. It's at Grant Goldberg. You can find Spike on Twitter at Spike Friedman. And so if you have any inquiries about that, you know, don't be shy. Let us know. And I think that does it. You can find our Twitters. I just said it. And you can talk to us about anything you want. You can talk about, you know, Seahawks, you know, English Premier League, or anything else. And so take advantage of that. So for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.